It's simple. It's dumb. It's the podcast. Welcome to this episode of It's Simple, It's Dumb, It's the Podcast, where the conversation's always focused on the music of Jason Lytle. Following the trend of the last two episodes, this episode's guest is yet another songwriter who Jason has collaborated with in recent years. In fact, Jason's worked with this artist quite a bit over the last 10 years. As you may have guessed, today I'm speaking with the talented songwriter, Kramus. And the chimes were all dead. Visions of you dancing through my head. And don't stop the heart. That's what you'd say. Drive straight through the Kramus is a singer-songwriter who's been putting out music as a solo artist over the last 10 years, oftentimes seeking out Jason's assistance to produce or play on tracks. Today we'll get to hear Kramus' perspective on the impact that Jason can have when producing a track, and we'll get to hear what I feel has to be the most accurate metaphor for Jason's band Granddaddy that has probably ever even been contemplated. And of course we'll talk to Kramus about his favorite song of Jason's and a lot more. So here's my conversation with Kramus. So tell me about the first time that you heard Jason's music, or maybe even that you happened to meet Jason. What was that like?
I first heard Granddaddy when I heard my little band was opening up for him. And back in the 90s when I was doing my stuff, and we had mutual friends. My girlfriend was best friends with his best friend, and it was a whole little community, I guess you could say. And then it just so happened, I was never really tuned into music. I was just always an artist, but I always listened to the same albums over and over. So when I was introduced to Granddaddy, like when I found out I was opening for them, I was still pretty naive. So when I heard what Granddaddy was doing and what Jason was doing, it was like a freaking kaleidoscope of sound, yet like totally emotional. It was totally accessible emotionally. And there was nothing like that at that time. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing. I don't think there was, but I'm not super knowledgeable to music. Like I said, I listened to Nothing Shocking by Jane's Addiction, Elton John, and Hunky Dory by David Bowie my entire life. That's how I learned how to write. That's how I learned how to sing. So when I saw what Jason was doing, I was like blown away. It felt like, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. It was like a first date and like a bag of broken candy hearts someone was handing someone on Valentine's Day or something. Mm-hmm. It was like this beautiful combination of brokenness and beauty, and it was just perfect. And it had like this heightened sense of reality, but in a very like poetic way, you know what I mean? It was just those shows that were so, it was almost like you know, like if you say you go to, this is gonna be so funny. I hope Jason doesn't fucking kill me for this, but it kind of was like if you were building your own boat with things that you found in your yard. You know, this is what the music reminded me of. But everybody, all your neighbors are like, you're so weird. Why are you building a boat? But it was your boat, and it was like beautiful, and you like were so proud of it, and you owned it. And like you like literally, you set sail on this boat and it was your safe haven, and you found happiness alone in this boat you built out of trash in your fucking yard. And that's what the beauty of what Jason does.
That's
You know
a
what I'm
great
saying?
analogy because
I
sometimes
hope so, because that was funny.
sometimes when you look at his stage setup from those granddaddy years, it's like it looks like a freaking scrap yard up there. Just all the different instruments and the way they're all cobbled together in different piles and different stacks of things.
Totally.
Yeah, that's a good
Totally.
example.
But I literally, that was my first interactions and stuff like that with Granddaddy as a band. And I remember, I kind of remember being in the basement and Jason was playing drums and Jim was playing guitar and I was playing bass on something. But other than that, it was all pretty much a blur
Right.
until after I got sober. Everyone got sober, so there was something consistent about Jason back then and Jason now, like the growth and stuff like that. And it's very like I look up to it. Like he has kind of been the person that's directed his own course in music and in this whole process of this weird industry.
So scooting it, moving ahead then. You've worked with Jason a lot over the years. I think he's been producing several of your songs, even going back to 2013. He
Yeah.
produced a couple of songs from the Wooden Heart EP, both Sea Otter Cottage and Clocks Were All Broken. He did the
Yeah.
same for your single, The Fate That Never Favored Us, around 2016, I believe. And
Yeah.
then most recently, he took on two of the songs from my personal favorite of yours, the 2018 EP. Of all the places been and everything the end, and
Yeah.
even after that, it seemed I saw the other day on social media that he's still involved with new music that you're putting out right now. Is that right?
Yeah, I have a single that Pat Carney of the Black Keys produced and played on, and Jason did all the synths. And then he's actually working right now on two of the songs on that EP that belongs to for this fall. And so yeah, it's just thinking back over that, it has been a lot. I'm super grateful for that. Like it's been like an ongoing slow working relationship, and it's been so nice. I've learned so much from him just by his work, on my stuff.
So how did you actually end up reconnecting with him and begin working on your own music?
Yeah, it was quick. It was weird. So okay, I got sober, and then I spent my time just like I thought I was never gonna work, and I never wanted to do music again. I was going through one of those fucking funny stages. Or you just throw in the towel. And I got sober, and I've been recording a few things, and I got signed to a little Australian label, Hidden Shoal. And then I knew if I was going to continue this, I needed help because I can write songs, but I can't. I can write songs, and I can do all the parts, and I can imagine things, but I just needed help. And like, viewing out and seeing things from a bigger picture. But anyways, I just reached out to Jason, I think in 2012, and asked him. And I don't know what he was working on at the time. I don't know what he was. I don't know if I've had heard from him in a long time, like anything from him. But again, I don't keep up on any of that stuff. But when he came back, and maybe we talked for like a month, and then he said yes, and I was like, "Shit, that's totally cool." And like, 'cause he has, and so I went into this. My friend, who is the he records Guided by Voices and Robert Pollard, I went into his little studio and recorded all the parts, and then I just made like, I mean, I was totally new at everything, like I am still, but. It's kind of like reinventing myself, but I sent to the files to Jason, thinking I knew what the song was going to sound like in my head. So because I had just done all the parts, but what I got back was a thousand times cooler than anything I could have ever imagined, and that's why I love Jason.
Right, your comment before you described Jason as a genius producer who finds the center of my songs and rebuilds them backwards with a time machine. Yeah, I thought that was great.
Okay, so I could send Jason like 16 tracks, and I can know the focal point of those. Like there's something certain people are able to do with detail, like with a precision detail, and they can find the core of a song, which wouldn't be the core that the writer would think. You know what I mean? They find the core of the song and they work backwards. And I can't tell you that's what he's doing, but I can tell you that that's what it seems like. So he would take parts, readjust them, cut them up, put new sounds on them, put them in different places that I never even thought of, add a bunch of stuff to it, and it would come back to me, and I would be like, holy shit, I sound so much better than anyone's ever going to believe. It doesn't even sound like me. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. Nobody is going to, and this is also when you ask somebody to help you or work with you on something, there's a level of respect and space you have to give that person for their own creativity. And like my whole thing is to, I feel very lucky to even be doing this stuff still and like be able to do it sober and to do it as far as I can go with it and stuff and get the little attention that I get. But like when you ask someone like Jason or something, I always feel like if I just hand it over and know that when it's done, it's done. And when that person's happy, that person's happy. There's no like, there is no challenge or, you just leave it open and you leave it. And plus, nobody who, like a person like Jason, the most important thing, I think, in my humble opinion, would be his own stuff and his own space and his own time. Do you know what I mean? That's the
Right.
most important. So you can't ever expect someone to put that much time into anything of yours like they do theirs as an artist, because that's their sacred space. But I can't even begin to tell you how blown away I was whenever I get something back from Jason, be it 6 months later, 8 months later, or a week later, whatever it is. It always shocks me because he just finds the detail and he emphasizes it, and he touches it. He touches the songs in a way that bring out the heart of it. I could go on forever, dude, so you have to stop.
No,
You
that's
have to
great.
stop
And
me.
that reminds me of the YouTube video that's out there that of you and Jason kind of going back and forth, like, when am I going to get those songs? I'm still waiting
Oh
for my
my God,
songs.
that's so
I
funny.
saw that and I was like, yeah, this actually does sound like Jason quite a bit from what I've heard and read about. So that was funny,
Totally.
that video.
And I'm glad to be a part of that. I hope, I mean, Jason, not to sound all lovey-dovey, whatever. It's not like we're, went to high school together or some shit. But it's like he's been so kind about it and stuff like that. And I know how busy people like Jason can be. I know how busy I can be at times. So I can't imagine like the requests that he gets. And like I know Jason probably wouldn't work on anything he didn't want to. I mean, he doesn't need to. So I'm so grateful for even making funny videos like that. That was hysterical. I totally forgot about that. Totally forgot about that, man.
I did want to talk about one of the songs that you worked on with Jason. My favorite of yours is Of All the Places Been. It's such a unique sound that you have. It's like this soundscape that makes the listener feel like they're almost stuck in a dream. It's just so different. Tell me about that song and what it was like to work with Jason on it.
A lot of that, it doesn't matter. Like, again, with like Jason, it doesn't matter how many instruments or how little instruments I send, it always comes back with something more interesting. And all the bad parts are taken away. So a lot of that, I think on that song I sent him 18 tracks, maybe 16 tracks. I don't know. I try to keep it minimal, and I have this thing. He takes those and he restructures everything. But a lot of it, is him on that song too. And like, there's a lot of, and like the new single that's coming out too this year, I'm not self-promoting at all. Like, but it totally sounds like I am. But when he sent me back the tracks that he did for the synths on this single, oh my God, it made the song. It built the parts up. It was just like what you were describing. It was so textured and so pretty. Even on its own, it was beautiful. And like, I was just blown away by what he gave to that song, all the songs.
Awesome.
He's a great dude. He's a really strong soul, that guy. He's a really strong soul, and he's very good at what he does. So I really appreciate him.
So you cut one of your responses a few minutes ago kind of touched upon this, but I want to ask it anyways because I feel like it's something that is really innate in Jason, is that he has the reputation of being this like lone wolf when it comes to recording, even when it was with Granddaddy, that he would write the songs, that he would play all the instruments, at least in the demo versions, that he would do all the recording himself. And we touched upon earlier, he's kind of a perfectionist from what I understand. Whether that be, he's described himself, I think, sometimes as up at after 4 hours at 2 a.m. working on a little keyboard, sequence in his boxer shorts and just being so devoted to that. And so when I heard that, and I'm picturing him working with these other artists in a producer role, I'm curious to, I mean, obviously it sounded like you guys were working remotely from each other. And so maybe that allowed for him to do those things on his own time. But I was wondering if that was a challenge for Jason, a challenge for you, if maybe that was agreed upon initially that, hey, we're not going to be like in the same studio doing this in the typical producer songwriter kind of structure.
No, like it wasn't even, it's not even for me personally, and this is why I love working with people like, or Jason and stuff, because, or having Jason help me and stuff, because I'm the same way. I'm a lone, very much a lone wolf, and I'm very much don't like many people involved with anything. And like, I very much do all my creativity on my own as far before, passing it over to some like Jason. And like, so we're very much the same in that aspect. And like, it's very respectful, and that's, like I said, that's so important with being respectful of another artist's time and valuing their time and stuff like that. And when we started, that was just the easiest way. And I love handing stuff off. I love being like, okay, I did my parts, bye, and I'm on to something else. I love not being involved like I used to be, and like being in a studio for like, 10 to 12 hours a day, and like for months, and just doing drugs, and like I hated that whole thing. Like it was just stupid. And like now, it just right off the bat, it's like, hey, I got this music, are you interested? And then you just send files, and it works for me completely. As well as, I think that's the way he likes to work too. I can't speak for him, but it's a big relief to not have to do too much in-person stuff before COVID, even before COVID. You know what I mean? So I don't, it was never even brought up. I mean, Jason and I think in 2018, even we did a couple things together in California and stuff like that. So, or 2019? 2019. Yeah, we did a show, and
Yeah, let's talk about that next. So then you had this split release. I call it a thringle. I don't know if that's actually how it's pronounced, but I've seen it kind of written that way because it was
Tringle or thringle
tringle.
or
I was calling it a
tringle
thringle,
or
but
thringle.
tringle might sound better.
I literally was on it. I still can't pronounce it.
But it's one song each contributed by yourself, Jason, and Kyle Field of Little Wings. And I was just curious because I was reading about it on Bandcamp. I do have a copy, but I was reading about some of the, you know, how it came to pass. And it sounded like, you know, you agreed upon this very limited format of one acoustic instrument and no studio tricks. And how did that come about?
I have to take credit for that in a funny way because, okay, so I'm always trying to get people together and like makes like a, like Kyle and Jason and me, like the whole, like I always have these, like this, I never had like a bonding brotherhood of a band or anything like that. I was never close to anybody. I don't have bandmates. I just kind of just do everything on my own. So whenever I get a chance to do something like that, I love it because it's like, it's so nice to share that and have that as like a one-off kind of experience. But I know how busy, so Jason was producing my stuff and it did pretty well in 2018 into 2000. When did we release that Tringle?
2018, late 2018.
So I know that like my EP was doing all right as far as all right goes. And I think I was like, listen, I kind of pushed it. Let's do this. And it's going to be low maintenance. You literally sit down, microphone, piano, or whatever you want, write a song, record it, send it to me, and I'll take care of the rest. And so I just kind of gathered all this stuff and just did it myself, which I think since Jason's pretty busy guy, and if he's not busy, he's really doing healthy things and taking care of himself. Like I love taking over like that. I love we might be doing it again. I don't know if we're doing it again. I don't know what the future holds, but after this next album, but there might be another one and I'm not, don't quote me on that, but
Tringle part two. Right.
Yeah. Tringle two. Tingle. That's what it would be called. Wait, two ingle. No, I don't know how that works. Anyways. Oh my God. It's so funny. Anyways, the easier it is for everybody, the easier the project comes together, the lighter the project, the more positive energy around the project. And that's how I feel about stuff. I'm a pretty positive dude. And I mean, that might clash with some crabby people, but I love doing things like that and stuff. So the easier I can make it for someone like Jason or whoever I'm working with, the better, and I'll just do the legwork because it's fun, you know.
You know, sometimes I feel like I guess I might assume, and maybe assume incorrectly, that Jason has like this back catalog of songs that he's just never released. And if somebody approaches him about either it be a compilation or a thringle like this, that it's easy for him to just be like, oh yeah, I'll how about this one, and just kind of pull it up, maybe presented a little bit differently, but Color of Dirt, which was his contribution to that release, it's you're right, it sounded almost like so, you know, easily just thrown together, like he had just been working on it that afternoon.
And in the attic and the basement and the closets, I had to hide away the proof of our sadness project. In the attic, in the basement, in the closets, I have to hide away.
So do you know, I guess, is it something that he has to really plan and think through, or is it, does he legitimately have like all these songs that like these ideas that have just never been, you know, recorded perhaps, or maybe not recorded, but, you know, fully recorded and mastered for like full release?
I think Jason has a magical hat that he pulls shit out of. If that's the only thing I could think, that's it. I think he's a magician and nobody knows it. No, I think a fella like him, and by the way, I'm trying out, I've been calling everyone buddy lately, so I'm trying out fella, and I don't know if it's working. But anyways, Jason is a fella who it just has so much creativity in him and so much talent that it could, he probably does have like this secret vault behind a like old photo of a horse, and it has like all these like old songs in it and stuff, maybe, you know what I mean? And no one's gonna find it unless they have like a special metal detector. But I'm sure he can whip something out really easily because that's the way his brain works. So man, I would stick with the Magic Hat. I would say that. Anyways, that whole, when Jason sent me, we did that Tringle thing, and Jason, again, I said, just acoustic song, whatever you want. I don't care what you're talking about or singing about. I just think it's really, because I know that Kyle and Jason were friends, but I didn't know. There's just like this weird connection between the three of us. You know what I mean? Like, meaning like I didn't know Jason and Kyle were friends until they told me, and like I had opened for Kyle for some small stuff and like, or Little Wings, and like it grew out of that. But again, you know, I say something simple, send me something simple, and this is what I love about Jason. You know, he sends a beautiful titled piano song with a dryer in the background. Yeah. That just creates, and I'm just like, shit, I have to redo my song now.
It was so nonchalant too, like I'm doing some laundry in the background.
Yeah, and it's then like, he talks about,
come on.
God, it's like, it's so genius, it's so creative, you know what I mean?
I'm doing some laundry right now. That's why you can hear the dryer in the background. Well, guess what? I've got a new house. It's not that much, it's kind of on the outskirts. But on a good day, it's the color of dirt. And it smells just like an elevator.
I whipped out in the afternoon while I was doing some laundry. I just decided to record this gem of a song, you know?
Yeah, I recorded this while I was napping. That's Jason. Oh, God. I do want to say, like I said before on the Twitter thing, that Jason's really, really funny. And like twice, I remember Christmas, I sent him this new group of songs. You know, a couple months back, or even in 2018, and I totally forgot about this. And I sent him my acoustic guitar parts or whatever, and then a few months later, I'll just get like a photo of. And I didn't even know this stuff existed because I'm literally just an artist. I don't even claim to be a songwriter. I'm just an artist who makes shit, and like. He said all he did was send me a photo in an email of this stuff you spray on your strings so your fingers don't make noise. And I was laughing so hard because that means he was editing out. He was like painfully editing out all my scratches and noises. But instead of saying anything, he just sent a photo. And then like just recently he did the same thing. He said, speaking of Christmas, I'm buying this for you for Christmas or something. And I thought it was so funny because, you know, he has to sit there and clean everything up and I feel so bad. But yeah, he's a funny dude, and he's a funny dude. He's a funny guy, and he's very, very big heart. Very big heart.
Awesome. Okay, so I did ask you to pick your favorite Jason Lytle song, and I'm curious if that was an easy I'm guessing it was not very easy for you, but I'd like to hear kind of your thought process, and then go. Feel free to just let us know what your song was, and we can talk about that.
My song by Mr. Jason Lytle was "Underneath the Weeping Willow," and it was very easy for me to pick.
I wanna sleep underneath the weeping willow as it cries all night quietly.
When I first heard that song, first of all, where it laid in that album was like perfection. And so I was obsessed with that song because I also, when I first heard it, the dryness and realness of his vocals, like the upfrontness and the texture of his vocal was so honest and so like, so real. It was like sculpted perfectly, but it was just a perfect sound capture.
It's tears all around me. I'll sleep there so soundly.
Simple. Sometimes the simplest things are the most intense, and that's what that song is for me. Plus it's so powerful and so short, it leaves you wanting so much more.
So what do you make of this song in terms of the emotional impact that it has on the listener?
Jason has this, a lot of people think his music is sad, but to me there is always this proud ending happiness. And I always, because I heard this a long time ago from someone, but that song has the feeling of going through something and then driving away and looking in your rearview mirror, seeing the past just leave you. Do you know what I mean? Just like dissipate. And it's like a total rearview mirror song. And the lyrics there's very few lyrics in that song, but they're very, very powerful. And you get this sense, again, it's like that whole, what did I say about broken candy hearts on a first date? I don't know. You get this like whole sense of release. And that's what his music does for me, especially that song. You know what I mean? And I didn't know, again, I don't know a ton about who writes what for what reason, you know, but I do know. And that's why songs like Underneath the Weeping Willow and the stuff that Granddaddy does is so important, because it creates an adaptation for yourself. You know what I mean? Even though, sadly, Jason was dealing with depression and stuff, mm-hmm. but yeah, that song was I'm a late bloomer to all this sound capturing stuff too, but it just was one of the most simple and beautiful songs, and just, it actually makes you feel power to pick yourself up kind of feel for me.
Happy again.
One other thing I like about that song is it really showcases his versatility, because I almost feel like Jason's more known for these long, drawn-out, epic songs that are like 7 or 8 minutes with just this never-ending chorus that just still leaves you wanting more. And Underneath the Weeping Willow is like 2.5 minutes or so of just this simple piano. And it's a different type of song structure. There's no real chorus in the song. And
that's exactly, you just made such a good point. You just made such a great point. Yeah. 'Cause I love, and I didn't even think about that. Like that, I love songs that have no it's like no direction, almost like it doesn't go back and forth, A, B, A, B, C. You know what I'm saying? There's no like structure. It just is. It's just a piece of art made. And like it doesn't have any course. It doesn't repeat itself. It's just beautiful. I have a thing, and I just told Jason this too, like a week or two ago. I'm obsessed with Hunky Dory by David Bowie because you can hear the phone ring in the background on a song. You can hear them talking by accident. You can hear all this like real life stuff. Underneath the Weeping Willow, at the end of it, you hear Jason's foot pick up from the pedal and you hear the bench creak. Also, if you listen close enough, and this is probably not true, but the noise in the background actually sounds like it's raining outside.
To wake and be happy again.
End of the song means it's the end of episode 3. Special thanks to Kramus. I really enjoyed speaking with him. He left me with a sense of purpose as it relates to this podcast. He said, "This has to be done." And he wasn't referring to just the quality of music that Jason creates, but he was also speaking to the type of person that Jason is. Looking ahead to the next episode, we're switching things up, and we'll be speaking with a fan of Jason who he's never even met before. As always, thanks so much for listening, and we hope you continue to listen in as we have some excellent guests recorded already for future episodes. Take care, everybody.